This week on Bloodstream, NHF, WFH, and the EHC released a press release about the thrombotic events that took place on the Fitusiran trial. We're going to tell you all about it. And we show our stripes for Rare Disease Day, so much so that we have Nicole Scappi with us to talk about her new book, all about bleeding disorders.
I feel like over the years, I observed so many different ways that you could lead or give back in this community. I think you can probably relate to that too, Amy. There are so many routes you can go.
Hi, everybody. I am your host, Amy Board, and my co-host is still not here. But never fear, we have you covered for this week. Reminder, I am not a medical expert, so make sure to consult with one of those before making any healthcare decisions. And a reminder that you can watch Bloodstream on our Bloodstream Media YouTube channel. Subscribe to Bloodstream on Apple Pods or stream those episodes directly from bloodstreammedia.com. Thanks for listening. Rate, review, and tell a friend. And hey, welcome to Bloodstream. Wow, we have so much to get to this week, but before we do, I just want to thank our presenting sponsor, Takeda. As you all know, Takeda has this website, bleedingdisorders.com, where you can learn all about Takeda's resources for and their commitment to the bleeding disorders community. You can see some YouTube videos. They've got short and informative stuff on joint health, social infusion tips, and HTC life hacks, so make sure to check that out. You can learn more simply by visiting bleedingdisorders.com. And I would just like to say, thanks, Takeda. Well, onward, here we go. Again, you have to deal with me alone. We might have a producer Greg sighting, but we're good, and we are so excited to share some news that, yes, we have a new member of Bloodstream that was born last week. Vivian B. Lynch was born to proud parents Patrick and Natalie Lynch. She was born on February 15th at 12:25 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. She was 8 pounds, 4 ounces, and she was 21 inches. And so we will let you know when she decides to make her debut here on Bloodstream, but we wish her parents the best, and we're so excited for them. So anyway, just from all of us at the bleeding disorder community, we're so excited for you, Patrick. Some quick reminders before we get into the heart of the episode. Make sure you subscribe to Bloodstream today, because then you'll be able to access our special mini episodes the entire month of March. We are celebrating Bleeding Disorders Awareness Month. Before I stumble through the rest of this, let's bring on producer Greg. Tell us a little bit about these episodes. I know you've been editing some of them, and we're very excited that we'll have daily episodes.
Yeah, I'm excited to be releasing daily episodes in the month of March for the bleeding disorders community. You're going to hear from a lot of the Bloodstream team. You'll hear from Mel, the producer, director, writer of the Pain Pod. You'll hear from Drama Del Rosario. You'll hear from yourself, Amy. You'll hear from Patrick. You'll hear from Jay Rich. It's the whole Bloodstream team, the whole Believe Limited team. And they're really fun. They're quick. They're digestible. And there is a lot to learn and a lot to entertain.
Dr. Glenn Pierce makes an appearance. Community member Jeff Johnson and community member Sarah Dressstrab actually share some of their personal stories, which are great. And NHF CEO Dr. Lynn Valentino will close out the month. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It's going to be great. Also, just a note, everybody, Washington Days is next week. Registration is closed for Washington Days with the National Hemophilia Foundation. Of course, that is the national lobbying event that takes place every year in February or March. But Washington Days is next week. So check up on social media, NHF social media, to get those updates on how those legislative meetings are going. It's all virtual, so it's going to be a hoot and a holler. Just wanted to give you that reminder to check social media this week as Washington Days is going through. So we have some updates and stuff for you today. I was kind of fascinated by this. We have a Fitusiran clinical trial update, and I am going to read this press release, and I just want to give a disclaimer. There's some big words here, so we're all going to be in this together. So everyone just I don't know, grab a cup of coffee or hunker down, because we're going to get some big words. But just for an overview before we begin, Fitusiran is an RNA drug that can prevent antithrombin protein from being made in the liver. Antithrombin, of course, as you know, is an important brake for the coagulation system. Insufficient amounts of circulating antithrombin in normal adults can lead to thrombosis or clotting. Persons with hemophilia A or B who don't have sufficient clotting, lowering antithrombin with Fitusiran Saran has been shown to increase coagulation and protect from bleeding. It is presently in phase 3 clinical trials. So that's kind of the baseline. And as you recall, we actually reported on this on Bloodstream, but back in October 30th, 2020, in response to reports of non-fatal vascular thrombotic events on the fitusiran clinical trial, the sponsor, Spark Therapeutics, voluntarily paused all dosing in patients in the ongoing clinical studies. So if you remember, there were 5 events. All of them were clotting issues. And the issue basically was the dosage. So these events, these thrombotic clotting events, were associated with the use of dosing clotting factor concentrates or bypassing agents that exceeded current breakthrough bleed management guidelines. So in January of this year, January 2021, a revised dosing plan came under review by global health authorities and have been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and the Japanese Pharmaceuticals and Medical Devices Agency, PMDA. And following review by health authorities, international review boards, and patient reconsent, fitusiran dosing will resume on a country-by-country basis. And during the very recent, that we just actually reported on Bloodstream as well, the recent Congress of the European Association for Hemophilia and Allied Disorders, EHAD, if you remember that, we talked about EHAD, in early February 2021, Sanofi, who is the sponsor, presented its revised fitusiran dosing regimen proposed to mitigate the risk of thrombosis. Right now, there is no change to the bleed management guidelines during fitusiran prophylactic treatment. So we are reporting on this information. This press release was released through NHF, WFH, and EHC. And what their recommendations were are right here in this last paragraph. Fitusiran is one of the rebalancing agents in clinical development. These agents, which include anti-TFPI antibodies and an inhibitor of activated protein C, aim to make the clotting system more procoagulant. I just want to stop and like give myself a pat on the back for saying procoagulant. To compensate for defective coagulation in hemophilia AB. What does that all mean? In some of these clinical trials, thrombotic events have also occurred in a small number of participants. Thus, careful dose selection and careful use of clotting factor concentrates during breakthrough bleeds is extremely important. So my takeaway from all of this is to stay informed. The fitusiran trial is trying to figure out dosing. That's what clinical trials are for. Please follow NHF, WFH, or EHC on social media, and of course their web pages for these press releases to stay up to date on the fitusiran trial. So we made it. Oh my gosh, we made it through all the big words. We will keep you informed on that. And if any updates come, we'll keep you informed here on Bloodstream. We will also make sure that that press release is in our program notes. So you can check the program notes to read for yourself and able to go through links to kind of figure out what the dosing is in your country. This Sunday, February 28th, is Rare Disease Day. And as the bleeding disorder community, we celebrate Rare Disease Day. The purpose of Rare Disease Day is to harness the creativity and energy of the millions of people around the world with rare diseases and the millions who care about and assist them to raise awareness and to generate action. The zebra is the official symbol of rare diseases in the United States, and it's noted for its black and white stripes, which are central to its uniqueness. That's why we show our stripes on Rare Disease Day. So if you want to celebrate Rare Disease Day, please go to NORD's website, the National Organization for Rare Diseases. That is rarediseases.org/Rare Disease Day. And you can get all sorts of merch. They have Rare Disease Day Show Your Stripes merch. That's merchandise. For those of us that are not hip and cool, you can get sweatshirts and things, and you can also get some social media, you know, Facebook banners and things like that. So make sure this Sunday to celebrate Rare Disease Day. And in the spirit of Rare Disease Day, our guest today is one of my favorites. I think she's one of your favorites as well. Her name is Nicole Scappi. She is an education specialist at NHF. She also lives with von Willebrand's disease. She has been in our community for a long time. She was one of the like foundational members of NYLI back in the day. We love her. She is one of our hosts of the Teen Impact Awards every year. And now she has a full-blown education job at the National Hemophilia Foundation. And our girl, Nicole Scappi, wrote a book. She co-wrote a book about rare diseases. So we're going to hear all about it. We're going to hear about her book about rare bleeding disorders called Super 7. Let's check in with Nicole. I'm here with Nicole Scappi. She is the education specialist at the National Hemophilia Foundation, among other things. Nicole, welcome back. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me today, Amy. It's a pleasure to be back.
Woohoo! So many people in the community know you or of you from your work with NYLI, the Teen Impact Awards, and now your job at NHF. But tell us a bit about your background. What was the flame that lit your passion to get involved in the first place?
Certainly. So like a lot of people in the VWD community, I was diagnosed later in life. So I was diagnosed when I was 13. And up to that moment, I had a lot of problems because of that. But it was honestly really through my mentors and friends that I met the community. I know one of the first people that I ever met was Dawn Rodolini, and she was my camp counselor. And she kind of slowly introduced me to this world of individuals. And I feel like over the years, I observed so many different ways that you could lead or give back in this community. I think you can probably relate to that too, Amy. There are so many routes you can go.
You know what's funny? One of my mentors in the community is Dawn Rodolini as well. So we share that. We share the tenacity of Dawn Rodolini. When the world opens back up, maybe you and I can sit and have a cup of coffee and tell our Dawn stories because they're great. But I wanted to ask this next question. It was kind of sparked by another interview that I had a while ago. But in particular, what has your experience been like as a woman in this community?
That's an excellent question. I thought a lot about how to respond to this, and I came up with challenging. I think that it took a long time for myself personally to self-advocate, to get factor and the treatment that I needed to be healthy and okay. And I think the advocacy doesn't stop. So recently myself, I haven't been feeling so well. Now I feel great, but before I wasn't feeling well for about three months or so. And I was really tired, and I've been working out like the most I've worked out in my life. So I'm in the best shape of my life. But, I went to go up my stairs, and I'm out of breath every time, and I'm sleepy, and I'm really outgoing. If you haven't noticed, I have a lot of energy, and I didn't have a lot of energy at that point in time. So I actually had to call my hemophilia center and say, hey, I'm not feeling so good. Do you think we could maybe look at my blood work? Maybe my iron's low. I'm not sure. And sure thing, I had severe iron deficiency. I've never had that issue before, but they hooked me up and I got some nice bags of iron that looks interesting too. Really surprised me, the color of iron. But I'll tell you what, after that, I feel like a superhero.
Really? What color is iron? Now we can't not follow that up.
It's like a brown red color. It almost looks like coal. And it's that's going in my body? Okay.
Interesting.
It was interesting because factor's clear. So I'm used to just very clear stuff going in, not anything that's darker, blackish brown.
Right.
But yeah, it was a unique experience.
That's crazy. We're here today to talk about your book. Congratulations. You co-wrote a book, which is just incredible, about rare bleeding disorders. Tell me a little bit about the genesis of this. What sparked the interest in rare?
Absolutely. So at NHF, our tagline is for all bleeding disorders, and we take it very seriously. And we want to make sure that when a person with a rare bleeding disorder comes to NHF for anything, that they feel like they have a place. So with that, we've been able to expand our programs to rares. We're launching a new rare educational series. But the cool thing about, in order to do all of this, we've needed some help. And we have assembled NHF's first ever rare steering committee, who are going to help support us with our endeavor to create this programming. So they help us things with how we can best serve the community, with knowledge gaps, fill holes, et cetera. So I would say to second, one more answer to this is our rare needs assessment. So that we did a couple years back, and there's a lot of our initiatives are direct results of that assessment. So we can't do it all overnight, but this is slowly one step towards that. And I'm looking forward to doing some more stuff with rares.
Yeah, that's so cool. The book is called Super 7. Tell me a little bit about what that title means.
Yeah, so we really like the way it sounded.
Wait, show everybody the cover. You have it sitting right there. So if you're watching on YouTube, oh, it's so
good.
There
it is.
Look at your book cover.
Amazing colors.
It's so great. It's an actual book.
It's an actual book. And I'm just so happy that it's here. And also, the main character in the book, he does have a rare bleeding disorder. And there's many rare bleeding disorders. But the thing about our book is it doesn't say which one he has. So we feel that it's really important for all kids with rare bleeding disorders to find something that they can identify with in this group. So we emphasize the super part, not so much the 7.
That's so great. What constitutes a rare bleeding disorder? You know, hemophilia is considered a rare disorder, but rare. What constitutes rare?
Right.
Ultra rare, I guess.
Like you said, right? All bleeding disorders are rare, but yeah. Like within this umbrella of all these varieties, you have certain efficiencies and defects that are happening that are less common than von Willebrand's or hemophilia. And those are the folks that we're addressing, our ultra rare folks. Guess they're rarer than the rare. So rare doesn't happen very often, but this is like rarer than rare, rarest of the rare. And it's about like 3-5% of the entire population is super rare.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. So little is known about rare bleeding disorders. What did you discover as you started to get deeper into writing this book?
I discovered so much, Amy. Let's see. We relied a lot on the input from our working group that helped drive this book. And I've heard so many stories over the years from the rares because I've got to work closer with them. But for example, what they've had to overcome and how that no one really understands what it does feel like to go through this and go through it alone. Even parts in the book, like where Tanner's recapping his day with his mom, that was feedback that we got from the working group about their real life. And we also didn't want to shy away from the fact that kids with rare bleeding disorders feel alone sometimes, and they don't handle it very well. And especially at the age that Tanner's at in the book, and usually they don't always make the best decisions about their health. And it takes some time to learn and do this. So I think Tanner's exceptional because he's rare, but he's a kid, and we wanted to make the book realistic just like that, because kids are real, and like they do make mistakes in life and they don't know it all. And it is a learning process.
That's so cool. Tell me a little bit about the message of the book. You kind of got into it, but expand a little bit about the message.
Of course. I'd love to share more about the message. So when you or anyone has a rare bleeding disorder or any bleeding disorder, you really just can't do it alone. You need your friends. You need your family. You need your teachers. You need your community. And if you have that, it's really going to make living with a rare bleeding disorder a lot easier. And most importantly, you have to know that you're not alone and that there's all kinds of people in the world with disabilities that we can and can't see, which you'll learn more about in the book if you choose to read.
So cool. What was your biggest takeaway from writing this book?
I think my biggest takeaway is it takes a lot of people to create a book. I mean, it took three writers, and shout out to Beth Marshall, my other co-partner in crime, and Susan Hughes, my other co-writer. It took an illustrator, and it took a designer and a printer and a bunch of internal edits and proofing, and to make sure, you know, we even asked our physicians in our working group to fact check us to make sure everything in the book was medically accurate. So it took lots of that, but again, it kind of goes along with the theme of the book, is like not being able to do things alone. It was a lot of work to get to the finished result of this awesome book, but it also was a lot of fun once I got there. And like I said, I couldn't have done it without the help of some folks. And we did have some fun with the book. And if you guys are very in tune with the community, you might notice a couple familiar names in there.
Oh, you just dropped that. So now everyone has to go pick up their copy and see if they can pinpoint. That's great. We talked a little bit about this before we started rolling, but what has the feedback been?
The feedback's been good so far. So I was telling Amy that I've been so nervous for the world to see this book. I know that some adults have shared that they love it and they think it's going to be a great resource, but I wanted to hear from the kids. So I had some VIP readers that got the book sent out early, and they said that they love it. They love the characters, they love the pictures in it, and they love Tanner. And what was the other thing? I can't remember the other thing, but they really like the illustrations and the pictures too. And just the story that it was about people with rare bleeding disorders, and they don't have anything. Like, this is the first piece of material that they're like, oh my gosh, like this is for me. So that was really exciting. And a lot of the adults feel they feel like it's a good tool too. So in addition to the book, there's actually a parent discussion guide that goes with it. And within this discussion guide, it talks about different lessons learned throughout the book. And there's also conversations and talkbacks that you can have with your child. And there also is a whole page of resources for rares in there. So anybody who does request a copy of the book, and more details will be shared how to do that in the future, if you just check NHF's site. But you'll get both this, and you will get the parent companion piece discussion guide. So I just want to let everybody be aware of that.
So great. When is it available? When is it going to be widely available?
It is going to be widely available on Rare Disease Day. And there is a little party if you all would be so kind to join me. Oh my gosh, look at all that. You're all invited. The invited sign back there. But it's on Rare Disease Day, which is the 28th of February, and it's at 7:30 p.m. And it is going to be a book pajama party. So get your favorite pair of pajamas. We are going to have special guest Josh Gordy join us. We're going to have CEO Len Valentino read the first chapter in his pajamas. And we're going to play some games too. And I'm going to be the host of that. So I really hope you all join me and come celebrate this amazing new resource for our Rare community.
Nicole, that's incredible. Where can people sign up? Like, where can folks get the info to go to that launch party, me included, to see Dr. Valentino and jammies?
So if you go to hemophilia.org and you just look at our calendar of events on our homepage, you'll be able to click right on it on our homepage. And then once you click on it, all you have to do is follow the directions on that page. It'll ask you for a couple deets, put your name in there, your email, and then you're registered. Just put it in your calendar, and then all you have to do is show up at 7:30 in your pajamas.
That's so great. Listeners, that's so great. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us as we celebrate Rare Disease Day and Week. Thank you so much. Rare Disease Day is on February 28th, and make sure to sign up for Super 7, the book launch party on hemophilia.org on their calendar of events. Nicole, thank you again, as always, and I'm sure we'll see you again
pretty soon,
since you're like always in our orbit.
Absolutely. I hope we see each other soon. I hope you guys don't get tired of me.
Never. Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you again to Nicole Scappi. That book is Super 7. If you would like to join that book launch party, if there's going to be pajamas involved. Oh my gosh, maybe Don Rodolini and Dr. Valentina will be in pajamas. I'm going to go. It's going to be incredible. Make sure to go to hemophilia.org and check their calendar events and register for that book party. We're so excited for you, Nicole. Hey, we just want to give a plug to one of our shows that we haven't talked about in a while. Hey, have you heard about Cheat Codes, our sickle cell podcast? It's been a while since we've talked about it. And we just want you to know that that show is doing great. It is our fastest growing show. Dr. Amar Zaidi and Dr. Mike Callahan are just killing it. The guests are incredible. The work is incredible. The science that they're bringing to that community, it is a really, really good listen. And for those of us in the bleeding disorder community, to expand our thoughts and kind of our foundation in the science of blood disorders, it's a really great listen. So let's listen in a little bit to Cheat Codes.
I'm Dr. Z.
And I'm Dr. C.
We host Cheat Codes, a sickle cell podcast.
Every other week, we bring on leading experts and passionate advocates to unpack critical education, new research, and thrilling moments from major conferences.
Don't oversell it, Dr. C. In short, we discuss important topics with important people, but we love to keep it fun and fresh for our sickle cell warriors out there. We love you guys.
Subscribe and listen to Cheat Codes for all your sickle cell info, wherever you stream your podcast.
Or check us out on our home network, bloodstreammedia.com.
Hats off to Dr. Zaidi and Dr. Callahan, and of course, producer Greg, for making Cheat Codes possible. We are so excited to continue that journey. And of course, thank you, Nicole Scappi, for being with us today. And hey, next week, March 1st, we're starting Bleeding Disorders Awareness Month. Check back for a history of Bleeding Disorders Awareness Month. Patrick is going to take us through the long history and the advocacy push to make this month possible for all of us. So stick around, and March 1st, we're ready to see you every single day. Thank you again to Greg and the Bloodstream team. Thank you all for listening. And of course, thanks to Kata for being the presenting sponsor of the Bloodstream podcast, bleedingdisorders.com, to learn more. And that is all for this episode. Hey, do you have a bleeding disorders or a health topic you'd like to hear us discuss? Is there an expert or a guest that you're dying to hear from? You want to inquire about casting opportunities for Bloodstream's narrative or docu-style podcast series? Well, then email us at mailbag@bloodstreammedia.com or connect with us on Bloodstream Media on social media. You'll find Bloodstream Media on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can follow me, you can follow Natalie, you can follow Patrick for all the baby updates on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. I bet they will be baby updates on LinkedIn. Check out the program notes for this episode in your podcast player or on bloodstreammedia.com, where you'll find all the links and information related to the stories and segments featured on this episode. I am your host, Amy Board, and until next time, take self-care of yourself. Bye-bye, everybody.